Let's continue reading Genesis 1 and verse 2, the second verse of the Bible. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Here we see that God brought the earth through a process in its formation, and the Spirit of God was controlling the process. Let's read the verse again. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Again, let's consider a few background notes now for this second verse of the Bible. The first verse of the Bible states emphatically that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This opening verse is either a summary statement of all that's to follow in the creation account, or it is part of the first day of creation week. Now, I think either of these views is possible with a high view of Scripture. Now, there are two other ways to view the harmonization of the first three verses of Genesis 1, both of which I believe have some shortcomings. And I will cover these two other views under doctrinal point number one. Let's take one more background note. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, we read, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead or divine nature." This verse says that the creation is not only evidence of God's power, but it is also evidence of God's very nature, his divine nature. Now, where do we see that? Well, I think one way God's nature is reflected in creation is the fact that God created a tri-universe, that is a space-matter-time universe. As God is a trinity, or triunity, that is, God is one in essence, and yet three persons. So, the universe is a triunity of space, matter, and time. So you see, the universe is not just an illustration of the Trinity. The universe reflects the very nature of its creator. More we could say there, but now we want to move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one. There was a time when the earth was formless and empty. There was a time when the earth was formless and empty. Verse 2 again. The earth was without form and void or empty. Now, we said in our background notes that Genesis 1:1 was either a summary statement of the whole creation account, or it was part of the first day of creation week. We said that there were two other views that conservative Christians have taken concerning the interpretation of the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. One is that Genesis 1:1 refers to the creation of the basic matter that God used to form this material universe, but it is not part of day one, and it is billions of years in the past. And then verse 2 in this view represents the millions or even billions of years of time when God was slowly forming the earth. And then verse 3 begins God's creation week in the not too distant past. We could call this the matter old, life young theory. It sounds good at first, but I don't think it fits the rest of Scripture. Let me give you just two scriptures in this connection. Exodus 20:11 says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." The phrase, "the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them," covers everything. All the basic stuff that God used to form this earth and universe, including atoms, subatomic particles, like neutrinos and quarks, everything. In 6 days. It doesn't sound, when you read Exodus 20:11, like anything existed before the 6 days. And let me ask you, What was Moses, the inspired writer, trying to communicate here? What was Moses, the inspired writer, intending to teach? Everything was brought into existence in 6 literal days. One more point here. How did Moses' audience, the Hebrew people, understand what Moses was communicating here? Do you think the Hebrew people at that time said, "Oh, we understand what you're saying, Moses"? Yeah, billions of years ago, God created the basic stuff with which he would later make the universe. And then in 6 geologic ages or 6 stages of billions of years, he brought this universe into existence. Of course they wouldn't have understood it that way. In the context, they are thinking of a creation week of literal days where everything came to be. Before the 6 days, there was nothing. And listen, there were plenty of ways that Moses could have communicated in the Hebrew language long periods of time, if that was the truth, and if that was what God wanted to communicate. The other scripture is Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. Here we read that our Lord said in reference to Adam and Eve, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." Adam and Eve were created, as we know, on the 6th day of creation week. Now, do you think the Lord Jesus is thinking here of the 6th geologic age? Or so many billions of years from the start of creation when he said, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female"? I think it's obvious that our Lord believed in a creation week of 6 literal days of earth time. Now, the other view of the first 3 verses of Genesis 1 that has been held by many conservative Christians is the so-called gap theory, or ruin and reconstruction theory. In this view, verse 1 of Genesis represents an original perfect creation of the heavens and earth, including life. And then verse 2 represents a ruined condition of the earth involving much geologic time. In fact, those who hold to this view translate verse 2 as, "And the earth became without form and void." This ruined condition in this view was because of Satan's rebellion and the divine judgment that followed, including the death of all life at that time, the evidence of which is in the fossil record. And then in this view, verse 3 begins God's creation week. That is the recreation week or reconstruction week. Now, I used to hold to this theory because it allows you to put all the years of geologic time you want into the gap. However, I have come to see that this view has serious shortcomings. Briefly, let me mention 3. Number 1, the best translation of the Hebrew in Genesis 1, verse 2, is not "the earth became without form and void," but really it is "the earth was without form and void." Number 2, Romans chapter 5, and verse 12 indicates that death is the penalty of man's sin. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Furthermore, in Romans 8, verses 18 through 22, the indication there is that even death in the animal kingdom was the result of the bad fallout of man's sin. You see, to believe in the gap theory, you must accept the idea that there were millions and millions of years of tooth and claw and violent death in the animal kingdom, as seen in the fossil record. I believe the fossil record is the result of death in the flood, not millions of years of time gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:3. I don't believe the fossil record is the evidence of evolution either. No, it's evidence of death in the flood. Point number 3, is in reference to Isaiah 45 and verse 18. The point of Isaiah 45:18 is not that there was a time gap of ruin. Let me read Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. Isaiah 45:18 is one of the favorite proof texts of those who hold to the gap theory. But the point is not that there was a time gap in Earth's history of waste and desolation. No, the point is that we have here God's intentions were not to leave the earth formless and empty or uninhabited, even though God did take the earth through that process, formless and empty, on the first day of creation week. So although it wasn't long, there was a time when the earth was formless and empty. Let's move now to doctrinal point number two. There was never a time when the earth was not under God's control. There was never a time when the earth was not under God's control. Here's where we go to the second half of verse 2. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This certainly refutes the old deist idea that God wound up the universe and let it go on its own. That's certainly not scripture. Even on the first day, when the earth was without form and void or empty, it was not out of God's control. The Spirit of God was moving or hovering over the face of the waters. The idea here includes the idea of a mother hen or bird hovering over her young. Listen to Deuteronomy 32:11 about God's care for his people, where the same word hovering is used. As the eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So even though the earth was without form and void and in total darkness, God was at work and in control of everything. There was never a time when the earth was not under God's control. Practical application. Remember that your life is never out of God's care and control. Remember that your life is never out of God's care and control. Just as God was in total control of the earth's formation, so God is in total control of your life. Now, I'm speaking especially to believers now. It may seem like your life is without form, and empty, and disordered, and that God does not care, and is not in control, and it may be dark, very dark. God may be allowing you to pass through some very deep waters right now. But listen, God is still in control. God knows, and he cares. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Remember that your life is never out of God's care and control.